Can I afford to be an absolute philosopher? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Can I afford to be an absolute philosopher? All of us would love to be an absolute philosopher. We think being an absolute philosopher would be just the most wonderful, fun thing in the world. It'd be the most thrilling, the most desirable, the most powerful, the most exciting thing in the world to be an absolute philosopher. Yes. We were talking the other day about what the University of Philosophy is, what the University of Healing is, and what the courses are and what the programs are, and how ancient philosophers are looked upon with great reverence and great respect for their knowledge and their genius and their understanding of the philosophy that they espouse. And all too often we forget that today, right now, you, me, are philosophers. We are living our life according to our philosophy. What is your philosophy? What is your way of life? What thoughts do you have that are important to you? As a philosopher, what do you think? And, of course, we have to stop and think, what is it we do think as a philosopher? Are we, as a philosopher, thinking beautiful, uplifting, supportive thoughts? Or, as a philosopher, do we think that the world is one that is manipulating us, that the world is one that is causing us a lot of concern and unhappiness, and that the world has a lot of unhappiness in the world, a lot of sadness in the world? Oh, my God. When we think such thoughts as that, we are empowering outside activities to manipulate our mind. And all the great philosophers, every great thinker, every great being has taught, man, know thyself. Know yourself. Know who you are. I keep repeating this to myself often because I sometimes wonder, am I really as smart as I think I am? Am I really as brilliant as I think I am? Am I really as substantial as I believe and know that I am? And then the answer has to come back, yes. Now, where did these brilliant philosophers who were reporting down through history their life story and their attitudes and their ways of thinking, where did they get their ideas? Where did the scientist who got the Big Bang theory get his theory of the Big Bang activity? Where did Alice in Wonderland get the wonderful story? How did that come into being? We all know the story. But the point is, it came because the thinker was thinking. Now, he did think, and she did think, most remarkably. And that, of course, is part of the point. They did think most remarkably. They were not ordinary thinkers. They were thinkers who thought with most remarkable thinking. Now, as thinkers who think with most remarkable thinking, what is going on? They are listening to a drummer within themselves. They are listening to a knowledgeable source within themselves, and they say, can that be true? They don't doubt. That's the big point. They don't doubt. Can I be an absolute philosopher? If I don't doubt. If I listen to the divine within me, to the wisdom of the universe within me, to the allness within me, if I listen to who I am and what I am, then I can be sure that the knowledge that I profess, the knowledge that I give out, share with my universe, live in my life, that knowledge is valid. Where does this validity come from? It comes from the allness. And you and I are the allness. It's just that we have not taken responsibility for being the allness. And I can afford to be an absolute philosopher if I can afford to take responsibility for the allness that I am. How do I take responsibility for the allness that I am? Well, it's unfortunately too simple. And because it's too simple, we don't believe it. You know, we really don't. We don't believe that it is that simple. Well, it is. Now, how do I take responsibility? How do I take this attitude? How can I afford to be an absolute philosopher? By just following what my inner self says. Well, people think I'm crazy. People think I'm batty. People think I've lost my marbles. And isn't that the truth? Every great thinker, the world has thought they lost their marbles. Every great thinker, they attempt to use logic and reason. But you see, in the divine scheme of things, there is no logic and there is no reason. Because logic and reason have to be a comparable source. And there is no comparable source or force in logic and reason. There's no reason why we have this raindrops. There's no reason why each snowflake is individually unique. There's no reason why there are so many grains of sand on the sea. And there's no reason why out of silicon we are now making the substances on which we can put infinite amounts of information and memory. And we are now trigabytes of memory. Can you imagine that? It used to be gigabytes. Now it's trigabytes. And you can even buy them at an affordable price, my goodness sakes. And it wasn't too long ago. I remember going over to one of the dealers and saying to them about my Hyperion computer. It was one of the early computers in 75. And I said, hey, I'd like to put my programs on here so that I can put my disks in there to fill up with information that I write about. And if I have the programs in there, I got to take them out and put the disk in to put the information in, then take the disk out and put the program in, and it's just a bother. And I travel a lot, and the less I have to carry, the better. And the guy said to me, as I reported to you before, he said, no, it can't be done. The salesman said, no, it can't be done. I talked to the owner of the store. He said, hey, I was just thinking about that. And the owner of the store at the moment was talking to another gentleman who said, hey, I do that. I just started in that business this past week. I'll be glad to do it for you. And so he burned my programs onto my Hyperion hard disk area, and it took him 2 days to burn it on and give it back to me, and it was wonderful. Now, today, we don't need to even do that. Today, what we had was kilobytes before, now megabytes, and now trigabytes. Wow. What's next? What's next? What's next? It needs no disk. It needs no source to put these things on, because we tap the universal consciousness. We tap the absolute philosopher into the understanding of all that is everywhere. Can you believe that? I can. And every time these thoughts come up in my mind, I think, oh, now, let me see. How can I express that most efficiently to say what I want to say so that I can have people not believe me necessarily, but conceive that it's a possibility? And in conceiving it's a possibility, putting it to work in their own life. You and I have this infinite source of wisdom, knowledge, and awareness in the allness in us. We cannot escape it. It is in and through us and around us. It is like the radio waves, like the television waves. It's like the allness, the vibrations, the energy of the universe. It is like the atoms of the universe. And these are merely forms that we have given names to. And one day we'll reach beyond those forms with the quark and the other interesting names science have come up with for terms of sub-energy, and when we do that, can I afford to be an absolute philosopher? Only if I can afford to dream and believe in my dreams. Only if I can afford to listen within to who I really am and listen to the allness that I am within. Listen to the magnificence that I am within. Listen to the reality that I am within. And listening to that reality, listening to that magnificence, listening to the allness that is everywhere for everyone. Oh, I don't have to go to school, and I don't have to go to study courses, and I don't have to go to the University of Philosophy, the University of Healing. I don't have to go to any of these things to find that source. But when I take the courses sort of require me to act now upon that which I am. And speak my word for wholeness. A person called the other day and said, will you speak your word for wholeness for my friend's child? And I said, it is done. I see them whole and perfect. I see everything in divine order. It's done now. Done. And yeah, what else? Well, there is no else. In my consciousness, you asked me to speak my word for this child, and I did. And I don't have to speak a whole vocabulary. I don't have to have a whole dictionary. I don't have to have a whole textbook of words and things. It is done. It already exists in the allness. You couldn't ask me to think in a positive way for this child if that child were not already in the allness, whole and perfect. Now let's just draw that forth in our consciousness and see that done. And let it be experienced and expressed in that life of that child, as well as our life, but first our life. Yes, first the practitioner. Can I afford to be an absolute philosopher? Oh my, I cannot afford not to, because that's my nature. And that's the fun of being me. And that's the fun of living, the fun of doing everything so fantastic, so joyously, so wonderfully. Yes, I can dream. I can afford to dream. I can think. I can afford to think. I can have thoughts that carry me into the abstract beyond all imagination and have them be expressed right now because they are real and they are me. I can afford to be an absolute philosopher. The world is an absolute philosopher and you are an absolute philosopher. Just dream a little with me. Dream a little with yourself and know yourself. For when you do, then you have reached the plateau of the absolute philosopher. And now, as you reach the plateau of the absolute philosopher, step on, and it's a magic carpet, and it'll take us everywhere to every when. And what a joy, what a thrill, what a magical experience that is. Oh my, I'm so glad I'm me. I have such a wonderful life, and I have so many wonderful things that I just thrill myself every moment with magic that I am. Welcome aboard. Train leaves. Magic carpet's ready to sail. Come, step on with me. It's a wonderful experience. I love you. I love you. I love you.